Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, which is our memory verse tonight. We'll be parked in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. As I studied this verse, kind of hit me how to sum up this verse in a quick, concise way. And recently, I started a new job, and at the job orientation, or I got the job, and they hand me this a massive amount of books and papers. But on top of this thing was a cover sheet, and said, "As an employee, here are some of your benefits." And it didn't go very deep, but it just said, here's a list of stuff that as an employee of this company, you are entitled to, or here are your benefits. So to me, Ephesians 1, 3 is a paraphrase or here's your benefits. As a believer, here are some of your benefits. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians will go deeper into what these benefits are and how we handle them. But in Ephesians 1, 3, we're just going to see an overview. Paul is saying, as a believer, here are blessings, or here are your blessings. And so, as I studied this out, I kind of look at this particular, just this one verse as just a paraphrase or a quick summary of some of the benefits that we have as believers. So let's take a look at the verse. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So the first thing I saw when I took a look at this verse is we got three words. Blessed, with a capital B, has blessed, and blessing. So I want to do a quick word study on this. So I took a close look at these words and found out that though they look almost the same, there are some differences worth mentioning. The first word of the verse is blessed, with the capital B, is interesting because this is another way of referring to God. In your Bibles and up on the PowerPoint here, we see B, blessed B, is in parentheses, and that indicates that it's not in the Greek. So it actually reads, "Blessed, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So blessed is the Greek word, eulogitas. We get our English word eulogy from, and it means to be blessed or praised. And in this case, it's an adjective. This word, as an adjective, occurs 8 times in the New Testament, and every single time it refers to God. The Apostle Paul uses this term and phrase in 2 Corinthians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, same thing, the "be" being not in the Greek. Paul was not the only one to use this phraseology, or use this. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the same identical thing. Blessed as an adjective referring to God. This is not just a New Testament or an Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter thing, because in Mark chapter 14, verse 61, it's the chief priest that is interrogating Jesus Christ. And he also uses this word to refer to God. Verse 61, "And Christ being keeping silent, answering nothing, the priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?'" So this first word, blessed, is referring to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that I like the fact that Paul, I think he could have started out with just the word blessed here. Blessed, who has blessed us with all every spiritual blessing, and the Ephesian believers at this point would know who he's talking about. But he immediately follows it up, so there's no mistake as to who we're talking about, with the phrase, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that Paul is talking about God when he says the word blessed here, and that's who we're talking about here. The second word, blessed, is the verbal form of the same word. And it's translated for us in English as has blessed. And it means to benefit or prosper. This is in the aorist tense, which tells us it's a snapshot event. If you took a snapshot of the Ephesian believers or the believers today, they are blessed, or have been blessed. It's in the active voice, which means the subject, God the Father, is the one doing the blessing. God, so we can say here is God benefits us. Blessed, the God the Father has benefited us. Oh, let me catch up. I'm sorry. Another way of saying this is to act kindly toward. The third word, the third blessing, is a noun, and refers to every spiritual enrichment needed. Or divine favor or benefit. So I'm going to ask and answer some questions based on what we see here. So who has blessed us? And the answer there is God the Father, also referred to as blessed here, and the pronoun who. So blessed, God the Father, and who in Ephesians 1:3 are all referring to God the Father. Pretty straightforward. So what are the type of blessings that are mentioned here? What we're going to see is every spiritual blessing. This word every can be translated all, each, total, complete, or every kind of. The King James Version translates this word every as all. Okay, Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. This word spiritual means on a spiritual basis or in a spiritual manner. Which leads us to the next question, where are these spiritual blessings located? The answer to that is in heavenly locations, in heavenly places. As we look at this word heavenly, it's related to or located in heaven. The reason I can say that is in the preposition is a prepositional location, and it shows the physical relationship of one entity to another. How are we able to enjoy these blessings now? So we have seen the who, God the Father, and we have seen what, every spiritual blessing, and then we've seen where. Now we're going to see the how. How is it possible for us today to experience these heavenly spiritual blessings? The short and long answer is in Christ. This is how we experience this. Paul goes on in the book of Ephesians to use the phrase in Christ, or its equivalent, 35 times, the most in any book. It's in the Ephesians that we see these heavenly possessions and benefits we have in Christ. Some of them are just a small list: adoption, redemption, inheritance, power, life, grace, citizenship, and love, to name a few. So the question is if you're going to explain and have these in Christ, are you in Christ? How does one become in Christ? None of us are in Christ naturally. The fact is we are born sinners outside of Christ. And if we do not choose to believe the good news of the gospel of grace, we will remain outside of Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, just on the page, the next page over, states, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The saints that the Apostle Paul is talking to at some point in the past had been saved through faith. They put 100% of their trust in the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth as a human being, lived a perfect life, and paid the penalty for all the sins of the world. The reason the Ephesians had to be saved and why we have to be saved today is because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. The big problem with sin is it comes with a penalty. And this penalty, as Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So as sinners, we have earned death or separation from a holy God. We are incapable of fixing this problem because even our good works are considered filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 says we are like an unclean thing, and our righteousness are like filthy rags. So, as sinful human beings, we are separated from a righteous, holy, just God. God, by virtue of his holiness, must separate himself from sin. God, by virtue of his justice, must punish sin. And God, by virtue of his righteousness, must do this, and it is the right thing to do. If you sin, the wages is death, and therefore separation from God. This is the bad news of the Bible. The good news is that God is also love. And motivated by this love, he came up with the plan to save you and me as sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The death of Christ is a satisfactory payment to God that God would accept for the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2 says he gave himself and he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not of our sins only, but we also for the whole world. The proof that God was satisfied with the death of Christ is the fact that he was raised again on the third day. The penalty of sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ, so God can offer to all mankind eternal life with him in heaven, as opposed to eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Romans 6:23 goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Catch that. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how does one get this gift of eternal life? Christ answered that question himself in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Once a person has believed and have been saved through faith and received the gift of eternal life, they are considered by God to be in Christ. Now how can I say this? 1 John 5:11-13 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has life, who is the Son, has life. He does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you have the gift of eternal life, it's in his Son. If you have eternal life, you have the Son. And we can say you are in Christ." To even put it more, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you walked in according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And he goes on to describe what they were before the salvation. And drop down to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because he is great in love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, has made us alive together with Christ. So God has made us together with Christ. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hopefully I've proved, and you understand as I have understand, that once you are saved, you are in Christ. John talks about this in 1 John 5:11. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians. And he goes on to expound greatly throughout the rest of the book. And just to make sure, Christ is the Messiah. Again, I can say this with the in Christ here is a prepositional location, and this shows a physical relationship between one entity to another. So if you are saved, there is no doubt that you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, blessed, another name for God, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians will go on to explain what these blessings are and how we got them in more detail. But as an overall cover page of the benefits of a believer, you are in Christ. You have every spiritual blessing. Very, very encouraging verse to me, and hopefully it'll be very encouraging to you also. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the inspiration through the Apostle Paul here to explain the blessings that we do have and the benefits that we do have coming to us or that we have as believers. And thank you for showing us, and even though these blessings are spiritual in nature and not physical, we can, as we get to know them and make them true in our lives, we can have positive effects on us here as we live in the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen.